would, look at the scripture in Isaiah 6:8. It's a classic scripture that's used for commissioning people, commissioning churches, missionaries, ministry. Isaiah says, "Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom should I send? Who will go for us?'" Isaiah responds, "Here I am, Lord, send me." Let's pray. Help me to be a plain preacher today, Lord, so plain a child would understand me. Help me to be in tune to your Holy Spirit. Any word of knowledge you give to me that's directed to a person or their situation, Lord, if you prompt me with it, I want to be obedient to speak to it. And remind me that I'm under a great judgment, a strict judgment, more than anybody else in this place on this campus today, because I'm a teacher of your word. And Lord, I accept my place in rightly dividing it. So in the name of Jesus, I pray, his name that I preach. Amen. You can be seated. It's good to see you guys. We're nearing the end of a model that I'm giving you, and it's a Bales model, a model for kingdom living. It comes to us from a guy named Michael Frost. Michael is known throughout the world with mission organizations, church planning, how to connect with your community, how to connect with culture, and what. And so he uses the Bales model. The B is bless, E is eat, L is listen to the Holy Spirit, other L's learn from the Gospels of Jesus, and the S is sent. Today we're on the S of being sent. When you bless people, you are extending generosity. When you eat with people, you're practicing hospitality. When you're listening to the Holy Spirit, it produces a Spirit-led life. When you learn of Christ, the Gospels, read them, you're becoming Christ-like. And today, sent is going to be a picture of what a missional life looks like. And that's what we're going to handle today. Isaiah 6:8 is very beautiful. It's beautiful. I've seen 1,000 missionaries commissioned with this verse. The Lord says, who can I send? Who will go for us? And the missionaries all respond. I mean, they had it cued. Here am I. Here we are. Send us. Send me. It becomes moving to watch that, to see that happening. I want to deal today with being sent. And even though that's beautiful, what Isaiah had to go through to get there is not as pretty, all right? Isaiah 6:5 is where I want to take you to. Isaiah is moving from being a priest to a prophet, and he thinks everything's okay. Now, I'm going to go back into my culture, my living, and Gary Landis is here. Gary, wave so people see you. Gary knew me when I was a kid in the Greene County area. His daughter is here, and son-in-law, and grandson, and grandchildren to be soon, and all that heavy connection here to my past, long past, and I'm picking on Gary because he'll understand this. I grew up in a culture that this is the kind of language they had around the church. They'd go, "You all right? You all right?" And "you all right" meant, "Are you in the Lord where you need to be?" And it was kind of an accepted vernacular. It's like, you know, I could put my arm around Stanley and go, "Stanley, you all right?" And that doesn't mean he's rooting for the right ball team. That meant, "Are you and Jesus where you need to be?" And it was, even though it didn't say that real detailed, is, "You all right?" It's a prompting. "Are you and the Lord okay?" Can I say this to you? You're not going to go to heaven on what you think should happen. You will get to heaven under what the Lord thinks should happen. I'm not going to get to heaven on my own means of figuring it out. There's only one way for me to get to heaven, and that's through a way that God has provided. So eternity is not based on how I think I get there. Even abundant living is not based on what I think should get there. It's all based on what he says. And here's my point. Isaiah, before this moment of being in the throne room of God, if you were to say, "Hey, Isaiah, you all right?" Isaiah would probably go, "Sure, I'm fine. I mean, he's a priest. He gets the altar ready, the Levites do, it's just all kinds of things. But when he gets in the presence of God, look at verse 5. Everything's not all right. When he gets into the presence of God, he realizes, I'm a man of unclean lips, and I live with a people who have unclean lips. Everything is not okay. But if you were to talk to Isaiah a little bit beforehand, you may think, yeah, everything's okay. I may have a discussion with you based on how you think your existence in eternity, and you're going to think you're all right. But I get you in the presence of God, we may have a whole different conversation. So I'm really telling you, let's make sure we're in the presence of God. Let's make sure we're understanding what he says about living and then eternal living, abundant living, and about surrendering and following him. Let's get that picture. Then we'll go from there. I am a man of unclean lips. I live among a people of unclean lips because my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. And the Lord cleanses Isaiah, a seraphim, a real, in no other words, kind of strange looking bird is coming out after you, and it gets a coal off the altar, and these, the seraphim and the cherubim are there to guard the Lord of hosts and the throne room of God, and they're just there. They're a presence that just lets you know they rule the place. You understand? And the Lord rules the place and not you. And so they come and they pick up the coal and they put it on his lips. And there's a picture of cleansing here that happens. Here's what I want you to know. I want you to know very clearly how important this is, because there's a cleansing before the sending. Now, I don't want you to go thinking that I can't be sent because I'm not perfect. I've got to be perfect to be sent. I don't want you thinking about that, but I do want you thinking this way. Before there's a sending, there's a surrendering. There's a surrender before the send. And here with him, there's a surrendering of I've got to be what I've got to be who I need to be. I've got to be cleansed by the Lord. Not a perfection, but a surrendering. Isaiah couldn't do this cleansing himself, and nor can you. It has to be God doing it. Isaiah didn't do the cleansing here. God did the cleansing in Isaiah's life, and he took a man of unclean lips and gave him a voice, and a voice to a whole generation of people, to a whole area of people. He did that, and he can't do it on his own. The Lord had to do the cleansing. And then this is very important here. It's not Isaiah sending Isaiah, it's God sending Isaiah. Now let me help you wrap your mind around that. I'm a preacher's kid. One of the things I had to deal with was, am I just carrying on the trade of my dad, or am I really called by my Heavenly Father? So here's what I had to deal with. Am I daddy called, or am I heavenly daddy called? Now, this week's been a week of funerals and weddings, one extreme to the other. Dear friends of ours, a loved one passed away, and the extended family's from Camelsville. And so we're at the visitation, and we're at the funeral, and just loads of Camelsville people. Hallelujah on the Camelsville people. There's the Camelsville birth. And I even know where her family lives. It's on Bear Track Road, so it's beautiful place, absolutely. And so people come up, and this may even pertain to Gary. I can pick on Gary here too. People came up to me during the funeral, and folk I hadn't seen in a long time, and they'll go, man, it's awesome you're a preacher. Did you think you were going to be a preacher? And I go, no. And they'll go, me either. And I said, well, that makes two of us, you know. And they knew a whole nother Jeff than what you know. And so my point is, I'm dealing with people like, I'm surprised you became a pastor. Well, I'm surprised I became a preacher and a pastor too. But I had to go through, am I daddy called, or am I Heavenly Father called? Now, let me extend that on. My sons had to go through the exact same thing. And I let him. I didn't try to control that or manipulate that. I let Andrew and the father work that out on his own. Am I carrying on the trade of my dad, or am I Heavenly Father called? Here's my point. You don't send you, God sends you. Isaiah doesn't send Isaiah, God sent Isaiah. And that's what we're behind today, is you're sent. But it's not you sending you, it's God sending you. And you're going to see a picture of that I have in my head through this fall. And you're going, what's the fall schedule? When I give you the fall schedule, you're going to go, when am I going to have time to do the fall schedule? Okay? You're going to see a lot of things. And they're just going to emerge. But I'm telling you, for the rest of my living days, I'm going to disciple people, you included. And I'm going to disciple them to realize you are sent by God. You are not sent by you. You're sent by God. You're going to hear that till you're sick of me. If you don't want to hear it, you need to get a new preacher. I said that in the first service, and the steward home all voted to keep me. So I just want you to know that. I said, they are now my deacons. The steward home is our deacon body. But I mean that. To my dying day, I am going to preach a message and equip you and disciple you that God is sending you. And then my role in that, in Ephesians 4, is to equip you to be a part of that sending and what he's calling you to. Because he is. You don't send you, God sends you. And there's a surrender before there is a sending. You're not perfect. You never are going to be perfect. So it's not about reaching a level of perfection and then the sending, but it is surrendering and then sending in the life of Isaiah. You find that in the lives of the disciples, and it just goes on and on and on. The message that Isaiah kept to the people, God said, here's your message. It's really twofold. Keep looking, keep listening. It's what I say to you all the time. Keep looking, keep listening. Because God is going to send you somewhere. I don't know where. But he has a plan for you. I don't ask him to do my plan. I surrender for his plan to be done in and through me. And that becomes the context of which we realize we're being sent. And so it's a message of I keep listening and I keep looking. And he just repeated that message to the people. When we get to being sent, I'm going to deal with some cultural problems here for a moment. One of the cultural problems is we see professional ministry like, and I think professional ministry is leaving us. I think it's leaving our culture. And you're going, well, Pastor, I just don't see that. Well, maybe you're not viewing into the North American church like I am. But I'm telling you, the picture of who I am as a pastor right now is rapidly leaving. Lots of pastors I know have their own businesses. They work. Not that I don't, but I'm in a marketplace situation, and they still lead and pastor the church. But they're doing a lot of discipleship just through marketplace kingdom living, and we're seeing that happen. We're seeing people become more bivocational, meaning they may be part of the church and part of it. And we get into a cultural mentality, and let me just use Drew and Catherine, for example. And Drew and Catherine have gone to Ohio, so automatically we're thinking we just replace Drew and Catherine. I'm not going to automatically just replace Drew and Catherine. Because you'll get to thinking, well, we've got Logan, and we're going to move Logan up from student ministry to worship ministry, and he's no longer doing student ministry. Logan's still your student pastor. I have no vision of bringing in somebody else to replace Logan. We get caught up into that cultural perspective. Nod with me if you understand what I'm talking about. If somebody leaves, we just replace them. Let me give you a for example of how we've already started not to do that. Steve Haddix and Vicky went to Haiti, right? I replaced Steve Haddix with four people. I didn't replace Steve Haddix with just one. I replaced him with four. And more of a specialized area. I just want you to see, if we're not careful, we'll just get into the cultural thing. Staff person leaves, get another staff person. It just becomes, well, what does the Lord say about that? And what I'm saying is the North American church is very quickly, it's a big word for kids, you can just help them with, is decentralizing. In other words, it's no longer you all pay me to be the minister and you all watch it go on. You become the ministers too. That's what's happening in the church, and that's what should happen in the church. You are just as much a minister of God as me. But you all, let's get this minister in and let him do his work and work his magic and, you know, and all that. And we'll just bless it and support it and applaud it and condemn it when we need to or whatever and just go right on down. You see what I'm saying? The rest of my days, I can't make you be sent. I'm just going to encourage you. Keep looking, keep listening like Isaiah did to the voice of the Lord, to the revelation of the Lord. And then when you sense that, I'm going to help equip you and see you as being sent. That doesn't mean you won't be coming here to church all the time. Doesn't mean you're going over to another body of water across a sea or an ocean. It doesn't mean that. But it just means we're not replacing ministers in a professional sense like we used to. I don't think culture's changing that. I think God's changing that. That's my personal opinion. You are the missionaries. You are the ministers, and I want ministry to be on your mind. I want ministry, when you wake up in the morning, yes, you've got all this to-do list, but in the midst of that to-do list, I want ministry on your mind. And one way for ministry to be on your mind is you have to set your hearts and your minds on things that are above. We've said this before. This is really a repeated point in Paul's letters. Let eternity be on your mind, your heart and your mind. Here, let me break it all down for you. If eternity is on your mind a lot, then you're going to reach another level of urgency. Okay? If you're not leaving and going to another level of urgency, then eternity may not be on your mind. Ask me if eternity's on my mind since Tom Cannon died. It's always been on my mind, but it's at another level. Some of you all think you've got your future all planned out. Let me help you out. Yesterday, this week, it's been funerals and weddings. We had Laura flew back from Denver to be in a wedding of one of her best friends, pharmacy school. And there's me and Julie. Andrew did part, our son did part of the wedding. But the wedding, the blessed couple, we love them. We've shared meals with them. Julie and I have. Dear to our family, knew the bride's dad from years back. Anyway, happy or sad? At the wedding, yes to both. Saddest part was at the communion in the wedding. The song that Kendra and Blake had picked was the song that Tom and Laura had picked. Ask us how tough that is. And as a pastor, I don't really see people in this world skipping along into the sunset holding hands. I see a lot of suffering. Whether it's family members that were killed in a duck boat accident on vacation in Branson. Who gets on a duck boat thinking that anything's going to happen to you? 17 perish, 11 in one family, one mother, three children, and a husband. A hotel fire. I mean, you're just suffering. I can go row to row here, can't I? Just suffering. The world is just filled with a lot of suffering. And through it all, I've got to understand. And Julie and I had this conversation yesterday. I said, there's something you and I have to understand. What is that? I've got eternity on my mind. Ministry's on my mind. Eternity's on my mind. And when eternity's on my mind, there's another level of urgency for you all to hear. Because today, this Sunday, there's a life that's been brought into this world, and this day, there will be lives taken out of this world. And sometimes those things include you. And when we think about heaven, it increases the level of urgency. Here's what I mean. Our discussion yesterday, because Julie and I try to process this out verbally with each other, not only inwardly and with the Lord, but verbally and outside, just to communicate. I have to realize some things. There's some things I have to say to myself. Heaven is my home. If we're not careful, we will talk about American success and, man, this is the cake and heaven is the icing. No. That's not kingdom thought. I can't even relate it to cake, especially now on the diet. I don't even want to think about cake. You know what I'm saying? So my point is, heaven is my home. Heaven's not a level up better than earth. Heaven's my home. Paul says that my citizenship is in heaven. What is he really saying? My home is in heaven. Heaven's just not a better spot for me. It's just not a little bit more perfect than here. We know this place is not perfect. And it's or even just a graduation. Man, when I die, I'm going to go home. I mean, it's home. We even sang a song today that talked about heaven being our home. And I have to realize that. I'm not just being promoted, or I'm not just, even though I understand what you mean when you use those words, it's just more than that. Man, when I die, I'm going to a home that the Lord himself has prepared for us. So it's not a better place. You know why I say that? It's the best place. And when I think about eternity, and there becomes another sense of urgency in my life of being sent. It's my whole point in that. I'm realizing this. It's got to matter. It matters. My day matters. It's just not getting my to-do list done. As I'm doing my to-do list, how am I going about ministry? How in my to-do list day, all of my job, everything else, how in the world do I bring it to a sense of urgency of being able to realize I'm being sent? I want to handle some things with missionary, because you are missionaries, you are ministers. We used to think that it's going to another culture in another country over a body of water, an ocean, or a sea. It's more than that. That's no longer the way we think. One definition a guy gives is that being a minister or a missionary is somebody who's attempting to glorify God in their daily life. I wake up giving my allegiance to Jesus. I go to bed giving my allegiance to Jesus. I sleep with my allegiance to Jesus. When I get up to another day, I look at it now as I have another day, or at least I have a moment in this day. And this is a day that he has made. Finish the scripture verse. Say it, Vanessa. I will rejoice and I'll be glad in it. I have another day. And it's not a good day because I'm not in heaven. Heaven's my home. It's just I have another day. And a missionary or a minister is somebody who looks at that day and says, I'm going to work and focus on eternity, and I am going to live this day to bring honor and glory to you. Now hang on, because I'm going to meddle in your life. You and I are going, I'm going to say that at the beginning of the day because my day will be smooth. Right? My day will be bump-free. My day will be problem-free. My day will be stress-free. Everybody in this building looks for that day. Hello, I want to meet you if you have them. Isn't that our quest sometimes? I'm going to follow Jesus. I'm going to trust he gives me a smooth day. He gives me a stress-free day. That he gives me a problem-free day, and that's my goal. That's not my goal. I am going to honor him and glorify him in this day, no matter what this day brings. That's a person who sees ministry, and I'm absolutely being sent. Another picture of being sent is that I'm here to alert other people. God uses me to alert other people. You know what? Because some people think, go back to the beginning of the sermon, they all right, they're not all right. I mean, if I'm going down the road and my back tire of my truck, you're following me, my back tire just flies off, and I'm just going down the road listening to K-Love and sparks flying off the rim and all that. Are you going to do your best to alert me of my situation? Yeah. Let's say I'm getting forgetful. I call it overload amnesia. But let's forget that I open the door for Julie and get her in the car, and we're going down the road, and she's on top of my truck. You're just hanging on for dear life. Are you going to, you going to alert me that Julie's on there? You better. Yeah. Part of ministry and being sent is that during this day that's been given to me, God may use me to alert somebody else of where they are and where they need to be. It's a time of alert, of helping them out. Encouraging. In the prayer we started off with, I said truth tellers. Truth tellers don't just say, don't bless everything you do. Truth tellers tell you where you are, show you where you need to be. A true friend is not somebody who blesses everything you decide to do. A true friend is somebody who reminds you, I hear you, but how does kingdom living go along with that? How's that happen? I was getting some diesel the other day, and a guy I know well knows me. We love each other. He's getting a lottery ticket. I didn't say anything about the lottery ticket. I'm not going to say anything today about the lottery ticket. But let me just ask you a question. Is he comfortable or is he uncomfortable with me being there right behind him? Huh? I mean, just I didn't say a word. I didn't start singing, bringing in the sheaves. I didn't start doing anything about tithing. I didn't do any of that, you know. But my presence made him uncomfortable. I knew it did. I tried to alleviate that from him. But did I really need to say anything? My presence just, you know, I hope you don't always look at me that way, but it triggered something. I saw it. I saw it triggered. It just an alert. Do you really need to be doing that? How's that trusting the Lord for his provision for you? And I can go into all that. You see what I'm saying? Sometimes in our day, God designs our day to alert other people. That's being sent. That's ministry and being a missionary. In the here it says another thing is that you live your day to glorify the Lord. Your life becomes the movie trailer. A movie trailer is around 2 minutes or 2 minutes and 30 seconds long. And it's designed for you to see that trailer and go, I want to come back and see that movie. It's designed to get you $10, your $12, your $15, your tub of popcorn, and the whole, that's really what it's all designed for. It's the marketing, but it's so presented that in that 2 minutes or 2 minutes and 20 seconds, that it is designed for you to go, there's a bigger production than this, and I want to see that production. And that's what your life is. It's a day God's given to me. Your life is a movie trailer. And the movie trailer is, there is a bigger production other than my life. And if you see me, you need to know there's a bigger production than what my life represents. And I want to tune you into that. In other words, people ought to see your life as a movie trailer and go, I want to see the rest of this. Because what have I done in my day? I'm glorifying, bringing honor to him. Sometimes it's to alert other people. But I'm also displaying that there is a production, there's a story much bigger than my story. And it's God's story. I'm going to give you four areas of ministry effort. I'm doing this to challenge you and awaken, make you think. And you're going to say, hey, Pastor, I've got more than four areas. You may have six, that's fine. You may have 12. I've just tried to condense these down into four areas for you to think about how God may send you to one of these areas. These are defined areas of ministry effort. One is reconciliation. God can call you into being a person who's into reconciliation. And you're going to say, well, the church should be a part of all this. Absolutely. It is a part of all. Everything I'm going to give you in this next little segment is all what the church should be doing. But it may be something that you particularly are being sent to, is my point. Reconciliation. You do three things. You announce that it's possible to be reconciled. You just announce it. Reconciliation is possible. And it is possible. It doesn't mean that always the other party's going to react the way you need to, but it is possible. And my point is this, I think this is an area that God has really checked in my life. I think God has gifted me to finding people who are far from God and helping and me helping them to come to find God. I really do believe he's done that in my life. It's people who are just far from the Lord to come to the Lord. So it's that they can be reconciled to God. You don't have to be wayward and just bouncing around everywhere. The second one is we demonstrate it. And we demonstrate it by, this is the day that God's given me, and I'm going to live this day to bring glory and honor to him, not if it's a smooth day, stress-free day, problem-free day. But no matter what this day brings, I'm going to bring glory and honor to him. I will demonstrate that reconciliation is possible, that your life can be reconciled to God. And then it is the mission of Jesus. And then I want to take you to 2 Corinthians that has to do with it. This is a beautiful passage. And let's don't race through it. I want you to see it. It's about reconciliation. This is beautiful. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. I can even take that and go back to Isaiah. A man of unclean lips, now a man who is becoming a voice of God. The new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us. Who did he give the ministry of reconciliation? To you. He gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. So we announce it and we demonstrate it, that you can be connected to God the way he intends you to be. He can do that. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God, the ministry of reconciliation. The second one is social justice. Another fine area of social justice. Many of you all are going to be here, listed here. It's dealing with the poor, the powerless, the weak, the defenseless, trying to abolish slavery, handling issues of racism, and temperance. And temperance has to do with addictions from alcohol and drugs. And I put in here sex trade, and I'm going to say this to you because I feel like this is a word of knowledge, Lord, I pray about, and he gave it to me early this morning. And I know women can have a problem with pornography, but it's predominantly men. So I'm going to speak to the men in this room, and I'm going to say it to you as plainly as I can from one brother to another. I'm alerting you, okay? If you are involved in pornography, you are helping to fuel the sex trade. I'm just telling you straight up. Because it's just creating a desire, and they're building billions of dollars of industry off of it, but also the slavery of women. And I know it can be, and I know it's not just gender specific to men, I know, but it predominantly is men. And I'm speaking to the men in the room. If you're involved in pornography, you are fueling the sex trade industry. Stop it. Realize the bigger picture that you're a part of and flee from it all that you can. You're promoting it. Homelessness. Taking up for children in any form or fashion to encourage the fulfillment of children in their life, and we're going to speak to that in a moment. The third point is beauty. This is going to seem a little weird, but hang with me. The mountains or the beach? Julie's going to say the beach. Jeffro's going to say the mountains. Music and art. Do you understand that music has its own language? You do understand that, those of you who understand music. It's another language. Guess who gave it to us? God gave it to us. There was a king in the Old Testament. The only thing that would soothe his depression, guess what it was? Music, played by the future king. I think that's kind of funny. But it was music. Art. There's some people see some things in art I don't see, and they try to point it out to me, and I try to get it. Sometimes I act like I get it when I'm still scratching my head about it, but nonetheless, it has its own language too, but the beauty of it is given to us by God. Remember, the beauty is a gift, and it's a gift from God. Connect with people here. This is a place for you to connect with people, and as you connect with them, like I have an outdoor ministry, and I use the outdoors to connect people to Christ. Connect people there. Remind them who gave us this beauty. Be intentional. Let's look at Psalm 8 for a moment. This might help you. Psalm 8, Yahweh, our Lord, how magnificent is your name throughout the earth. You've covered the heavens with your majesty. Because of your adversaries, you have established a stronghold from the mouths of children and nursing infants to silence the enemy, the avenger. You're going, what does kids have to do with the sun and the moon and the stars and the firmament? What do they have to do with it? Kids are a creation of God too. And any child that's born is a possible child that will surrender to God and be sent by God. And the enemy loves to destroy the lives of children because the enemy knows they are creations of God himself. Are you with me? Whether it comes to the abuse or abortion, it's about squelching the voice of kids who later on can be an announcement of a reconciliation that God can bring to you. Every child born is a possible surrender and a possible sent. And the enemy is out to destroy any creation of God. That's why infants are included in the heavens psalm here, Psalm 8. When I observe your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon, the stars, which you set in place, what is man that you remember me out of all you created? The son of man that you even look after me out of all you created. You made him a little less than God, crowned him with glory and honor. You made him Lord over the works of his hands. You put everything under his feet, sheep, oxen, animals in the wild, birds of the sky, fish of the sea. They all pass through the currents. Yahweh, our Lord, how magnificent is your name throughout the earth. You may use the beauty that God created and use it to connect other people to the Lord. I've seen the Lord do magnificent things, obviously through music. I mean, we sometimes want to return to the hymns of old, and I'm not against that. My point is, there's some really creative stuff being produced today in music that is the story of God. It's beautiful. Art is the same way. Then here's the last one. It's wholeness. Some of you, God uses you to bring wholeness to people. In Luke 7, 18 and 23, with John the Baptist, it said, then John's disciples told him about these things. So John summoned two of his disciples, sent them to the Lord, asked Jesus, are you the one who has come or should we look for someone else? When the men reached Jesus, they said, John the Baptist sent us. Are you the one who's come, or should we look for something else? And at that time, Jesus healed many people of diseases, plagues, evil spirits, sight to the blind. He said, go and tell John the things you've seen and heard. And you have to understand, he just did it. And the two guys saw him do it. And they go back and tell him what you saw. And it said, the blind receive sight, the lame walk, skin diseases are healed, deaf hear, the dead are raised, the poor have good news preached to them. Anyone who is not offended because of me is blessed. Jesus is saying, there's one way that I can prove to you my credentials, and that is I can bring wholeness to you and nothing else in the planet can. Nothing. Some of you are looking for it somewhere else, and you're not going to find it there. He can only bring wholeness. Then Isaiah 61:1 is our mission statement. It goes right along with Luke 7. The Spirit of the God is upon me. He's anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor, sent me to heal the brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to captives and the opening of the prison to those that are bound. Here's what you do in wholeness. You help people find Jesus even when they're broken. They're broken. You help broken marriages. You help people who are sick and broken physically. You help people who are broken emotionally and they're grieving. You help people who've been abused with every form of abuse you can imagine. You help people who are addicted to things that have a hold on them stronger than anything in the world. Even disaster relief. You could be on a part of a disaster relief team. Let me get this perspective. We've had the storms that came through. I was driving in them, tree limbs blowing across my truck, literally. I called Julie on the phone. I said, honey, I'm telling you where I am in case you need to come find me. I felt like I was driving through a tornado. And I don't mean twigs. I mean limbs blowing. And I was on the Bluegrass Parkway. And let's say there's a woman who lives alone and she's got a tree on her house and she really has no family, and she sees a disaster relief show up with chainsaws and trailers and bobcats, and I don't mean the animal, I mean the machine, and everything else. And she's going to see you, but she's going to see you sent by God. It's a broken time, literally a broken time in her life. I just want to give you a picture. And there's more than four. You can put 6 or 12 to it. You can create your own list. But I want to let you think, because maybe one of those four areas interested you. And if it did, then maybe God's sending you there. Follow that. Look into that intently. And God is sending you that. It's amazing to me. This is amazing to me. How God is sending us. God sent me to Lawrenceburg. And I know he did. I wouldn't pick Lawrenceburg by choice. You understand what I'm saying? And I know he did. I know that as sure as I'm standing here. I don't know for who all he sent me to, but he did. And he sent me here. Julie and I heard the call. In fact, Julie heard it way before I did. She's the one that God used to alert me. This is where we need to be. And God sent us. He's not done with us here yet. But he'll send you. He'll send you. God's going to send us. You're going to hear that from me from now on to the day I die. I'm telling you, I'm more on this than I've ever been on it in my life. God will ask you to a point of surrender. And then at that point of surrender, he'll send you. And when he sends you, you go. You're going to call the preacher. I'm going to answer. And I'm going to help equip you with that to go and do what God has called you to do and empowered you to do. I did my homework the other day. 2015 stats, between Franklin and Anderson, there's 72,000 people here in change. This is 2015 stats. Over 50,000, like 50,375. And there's about 21 to 22,000 in Anderson. Our information we get demographically is 88% of our population is not connected to the Lord at all. So if you do the math in that, that roughly comes to about 67,000 people. And again, I'm rounding up and down, okay? Dudley taught me that, Dudley. That's thank you. And so if we started 67 churches today and let them all get to 1,000 people, it might cover, just think about it. To reach them, we would have to let the churches get to 1,000 people. We'd have to start 67 churches in Franklin and Anderson County today to reach them. And I'm asking you, let's go get them. Let's be sent. Some of you are going to deal with wholeness, and some of you are going to deal with reconciliation. Some of you are going to deal with social justice, and it goes right on down. Some of you are going to use the outdoors of God and the beauty of music and art and all kinds of things to get them. But let's go get them. He's called us to that. Remember, there's a surrender, and then there's a sending. Don't wait for me to start the ministry here and then you join it. I'm waiting for you to come to me and say, God is birthing a ministry in me, and then I'll help you equip it. I promise you that. I will help you equip it to go do what he's called you to do. And man, what a movie trailer that'll be, that there is a bigger story than my story, and I want to show it to you. Amen? You receive that? I pray that you receive that today. Let me pray over you. It's magnificent, Lord, what you've called us to, the lives you've given us, this day you've given us. In this day, even though it's Sunday, you've asked me to put my mind on eternity. You asked me to pledge my allegiance to you, that I'm going to live this day to bring glory and honor to you no matter what this day brings. And that, Lord, I'm going to demonstrate and announce reconciliation. I'm going to alert people that I love and I care about where they are and where they need to be. Lord, it's just a day for you to use us. I know you want to use us. Lord, I just pray we say yes. I pray that we get to a point of surrender. and then realize we are sent. Thank you for loving us. And Lord, thank you for asking us to join you in this incredible mission of how you empower us and then you send us. It's beautiful. Thank you for just including us. But also thank you for what you've done in us. It's in the name of Jesus I pray. Amen. The invitation is for you to come and surrender your life to the Lord today. You're going to be seeing us send people, like school's coming up, right? And if anybody works in the school system in any form or fashion, in a few Sundays, we're going to come, ask you to come to the altar. We're going to lay hands on you, and we're going to ask the Lord to send you to that school. And you're going to be seeing a lot of that with people who work with our students, children's ministry, right on down the line, daycare. We're just going to go and lay hands on them and say, you're sent. And your teachers, you're going to be sent, and then fall break and holidays, you're on your own, okay? You get the rest. And then we'll send you. But I want our church, we're getting ready to send Commonwealth City Church out on their own. I mean, obviously, we'll always be tethered, but they're under us as the mother church, sponsoring church. It won't be long. We'll be commissioning them and sending them. But you'll be sending them. It won't be me. And we're going to be sending people out. I want you to see that we're going to get into a period and a season of commissioning people, okay? And I hope you're included in that. If you never surrendered your life to Christ, I got another sermon coming up. Can you hear it? Can you feel it? I'll keep it from you. We'll do it another time. You come surrender your life today. Come do that. Let the Lord bring cleansing to you. I crave that for you. If you're here and you're a believer, we offer communion. The bread represents his body given to us, sent to us. And you take the bread and you dip it into the drink, which represents his blood for the forgiveness of sin. But before you eat it and consume it, remember his sacrifice and give him thanks. There's counselors here to pray with you, over you, and for you, so you can come see them as well. Our invitation is this: whosoever will, for whatever reason today, you come. Church, would you stand? Logan's going to lead us. You respond. You come.